Welcome, everybody, to the Swolecast here on rotogrunners.com. My name is David Kitchen, joined by Peter Overzet and Davis Matic. Tuttle said he would join, but there is conditions upon him joining.
I fear we will not be able to meet these conditions.
He said, hop on if you can give me some insight on the distribution of ownership on, and they listed four pitchers.
I would love to. I mean, I what I've heard is ownership is a self-fulfilling prophecy. So you just say whatever numbers you want, and then the field will do that. So I can definitely help out with that.
You just move the needle. Welcome, everyone. Leave comments. We're live. We're testing this new software. Every week is going to be a new adventure. And Peter and Davis have agreed to go on this adventure
Kitchen,
with
us. I'm on the Swolecast YouTube right now. I refresh the thing, and all I see is a blank page that says waiting for Swolecast.
There might be two different streams.
No, it's live. It's live. I see
so
it.
I tweeted out the wrong link is what happened.
Yes. Yeah. I tweeted out. I tweeted out.
Way to go.
I tweeted out the right one, though. I know. I know. Right.
Thank you, David. Hey, Peter, can you just retweet Davis?
Yes, I'll retweet Davis.
This is the whole thesis of the show for those that are, you know, wanting some deep dive analysis. We're going to get to it. But this is in beta, Peter. I would think by now you would have learned to live with the beta.
I think the message I sent in Slack, I think, would indicate that Davis was wondering where the link was 12 minutes before we went live. And I said, trust the process. I know that this is all part of the process.
I went on a little bit of a walk before because I knew there was not going to be any time to do it afterwards. I do have a heart out.
Too busy. He's far too busy
at the end of the
everybody.
Hour.
Far
I have
too
a heart
busy.
Out the end of the hour. A few other meetings next
Kitchen.
Week.
Kitchen, yes. What is your heart out? Because I think I know what your heart out is.
It's a,
is there a Mooncat
meeting.
Stream at 3 p.m. Eastern on the Lucky Trader channel?
No, unlike you last week with the Moonbirds spaces, I actually have a meeting, an internal meeting. Next week, also Swolecast up in the air because I will be in New York City. So anyways, as far as today, there is no agenda. You create your own agenda. A different Swolecast, you might say. So let's just talk about you, Davis. I want to know, you posted a graphic of yourself saying it's good to be back in best ball season with was it a heart rate? Is that the Apple
workout? So it was a screenshot life for my workout this morning that I did while drafting in Best Ball Mania 3.
Okay. So an hour and a half? Is that what it was?
Hour and a half. Looks
on,
like
on what though? I want to know like how this works.
On six. On so that's 60 stairs per minute.
So do you go to you're going to a local gym now?
Yep. Cup of coffee in the morning, go to the gym, put on the old trainers, Stairmaster, you know, Best Ball Mania 3. It's like I've been waiting for it. You know, I've been doing weight training and stuff, but now I'm back to my roots of completely ignoring that and just doing cardiovascular workouts.
How's the hernia?
It's good. I actually thought of you this week though, because I've had a reoccurrence of my lateral epicondylitis, the golf elbow. So I can't lift any weights for at least 2 or 3 weeks. So but of course that reminded me of my glory Fantasy Insiders days back when that happened to me originally.
Yeah, so this is a reoccurring injury then.
Well, really, it's just because I have poor form and don't take any rest days because I'm...
Do you try to impress people at the gym?
No. I just, I don't create healthy boundaries for myself. I just get really obsessive when I do anything, whether it be drafting fantasy football teams, whether it be golfing, exercise. I am incapable of doing things like a normal person. It's all or nothing.
Peter, did you see Davis's graph? Like, I want to know how it compares to your graphs.
I actually was kind of judging the calories burned for a buck 22. I think I'm normally over crest the 1,000 mark. If I'm,
cause you do, you do, you definitely do higher than you probably do like 8 or 9 when you do,
I do 10 is normally the,
no way. Am I doing that for an hour?
Here's my thing though. Why were you on for so long? Because I had some of the super flex drafts when I did them on the Stairmaster would go that long.
I did two drafts.
Oh, you did two. Okay. I was going to say, so what are they're clocking in at about what? 40 minutes right now?
40, 45 minutes. Yeah, I did two. Honestly, the first one, it kind of like these early drafts, like I'm not in a rhythm yet. I don't know. You don't have your pocket picks. There are guys who are like Sky Moore, like doesn't have an ADP in the app, but he goes in like the 10th. So like, I just am still kind of figuring it out. And the first team I did was bad. Like I had to like backdoor New England Patriots stack. So, I did not post that one.
It's been interesting. I did one of the live drafts yesterday morning, and then I've hopped in a couple of slow, and it does seem like there's this, spillover from the super flex brain where the elite quarterbacks are going much earlier than they would have.
Well, the 80, PBM. You know, I think this is actually intelligent the way they do it, but it's like the site just has a universal ADP. It's not, there's not a, you know, like a BBM ADP or whatever. So even like, and this will even out, I think probably after like a week of people are doing these BBM drafts, but like Derek Carr is like a 10th round pick right now. And you know, 3 weeks from now, he'll be back where Derek Carr is supposed to go. So I think like, as long as you can mitigate that, there's a little bit of profit to be made in these drafts right now, but also like the drafts on Underdog right now are just like nothing but total degen sickos. Like the soft action is not being found in the Underdog lobby right now.
Yeah. I mean, what? I'm just looking.
Saw Nick, I think, post that on yesterday surpassed their biggest
Hayden,
day
Hayden
last
posted
year.
That. Yeah. It or was Hayden. The yes. Yesterday was the most drafts they'd ever had off in any day in any. Yeah,
and previously
Mania.
Was August of last year, you know, when yeah. everyone is drafting and trying to fill the draft. So just like you said, a bunch of sickos. And I wonder if that's going to spill over into other platforms as well, where people are just going to use Underdog ADP as their default rankings for some of these other sites. So
the interesting thing, right? Like if this pace, I was just doing some simple math on 5,200 entrants so far, if we stay at this pace, we will be done in 86 days. So we would definitely fill well before the season started, which last year BBM3 filled what, like a day before, 2 days before,
mm-hmm.
yeah. or BBM2. So yeah, it'll be
everyone
it'll
was
be,
trying to get into the small dog. Was it the poodle?
The puppy.
The puppy.
Puppy. Yeah.
Once they open that, the fill rate is going to decline naturally, anyways. Yeah. Like it obviously would never hold up on that pace, but. The puppy also when they launch those, it impacts the fill rate of BBM, which is fine.
I'm so torn because I want to blast off right now, but I also really want the schedule to come out before.
Yeah, it's hard drafting right now a little bit.
Yeah, and when's
a little
the schedule?
Bit of luck like, involved this week Friday so. I think
Friday.
All right, here's my question, Davis. Can we get, as we're, you know, in beta, as we're just thinking of things on the fly, can we get a Swolecast of you on the Stairmaster?
No.
Why?
I was just going to say, I would love to be part of this. Can
what,
we do
an
all-Stairmaster
draft? You want me to talk to you while I'm out of breath, like trying to do picks on the Stairmaster?
Yeah, I feel like you're getting it now.
I also go to like a crowded commercial gym. Like I'm not really trying to do that.
Interesting.
I'll give it a shot.
It would be okay. Yeah, I mean, I knew you
would. Also, I go to the gym.
And obviously, I would at Planet Fitness. But it's like,
come on, let's all agree to do a Stairmaster stream.
I also go to the gym at 6 o'clock in the morning. Like, you're gonna throw.
Oh, Davis. Well, maybe just adjust your schedule, bro. For the sake.
No, dude. No, dude. Don't you read Holka's threads? I have a very consistent schedule that I stick to every single day. I do the same thing every day.
The point is we're. The great thing about a Stairmaster draft is you get to do a draft and cardio at the same time. Imagine now Better Collective paying you to exercise in draft all within an hour. It's the most efficient hour of your life.
That's true. I'll think about it.
Oh, geez.
Dave, this is like, you know,
we can get JJ on the Peloton. I guarantee you JJ would do it on the Peloton.
I intend the most amount of disrespect possible via this statement, but you can barely get a stream live from your computer. How are we?
Yeah, obviously, yeah. If I'm going to be
from your phone,
let me do it from StreamYard for that show. I'll take care of it for that.
Well, we'll have the old way of the producers setting up the show and hosting it from the office. Okay. So, Davis, it sounds like you're coming around though. Like, if we can solve these technical hurdles, you're down for it.
I'll think about it. I really don't want to do it. Like, I don't want to be the jackass having a conversation on the Stairmaster at my gym.
That is the point. That is the whole point.
Are we doing a draft during this? Like, are we going to be doing a draft, like live Stairmaster draft on the Swolecast?
Draft plus Swolecast plus Stairmaster, or you could do bike to start out. Like, we could start slow if you don't want to, embarrass yourself. It's not a problem,
David,
for Peter
David,
or myself.
I gotta be honest. Like, I'm feeling pretty good. My cardiovascular shape is poor relative to like the average 29-year-old guy because I used to smoke, but it's better than yours.
Okay.
So don't.
But that's not
don't.
The point, though. It's like if you're wanting to like compare, if you're wanting to like do like a competition, that's like a different angle, right? Like, how many stairs can we do during the draft?
I'm just waiting for Rudman to give me my royalties for starting this whole thing. Because yeah, Rudman loves this.
No,
he's all on board for the Stairmaster.
So it's funny,
you won't
Davis,
get the royalties if you don't do it on the show. Like, you can't commit.
Hang on, I want to call Davis out though. Davis saying he wants royalties for something, although yesterday there was a bit of drama. First of all, I beat him to a tweet, which was a callback to a Kyle Dvorak tweet. It was a very funny. He mentioned on draft night, Andy Isabella died, so Rondell could die. Very funny tweet. DeAndre Hopkins news breaks yesterday that he's going to be suspended. So I fire off a DeAndre Hopkins died, so Rondell could die tweet. And I tag Kyle Dvorak in the tweet, a little homage, a hat tip to the creator of this. You know, 4 minutes later, Davis, you know, waddles over to his computer, fires off the same tweet, and doesn't tag or credit Kyle Dvorak. I let Kyle know that Davis did him dirty, and Davis had a comment along the lines of, you know, you're allowed to do a subtle homage, and the real ones know who did it. But so it's just interesting, though, in the Stairmaster case, you want credit for it, but when you're stealing tweets, you're not as concerned about it.
Correct. I just want whatever in any given situation, situation X, I'm trying to solve for Y, and Y is what is going to benefit me the most. Like, that's always the equation of my life, Peter.
My most famous tweet ever was the Antonio Brown tweet a couple years ago when he was in.
Yeah, when you just stole a TikTok. Yeah, we all remember.
It wasn't a TikTok. I don't even think TikTok was around then.
Sure.
But anyways, I did take a video and then I said Antonio Brown this year during preseason, and like it got a ton of tweets, retweets. I mean, like 25,000, something to that effect. Well, Ian Harditz tries to tweet out the same thing a couple hours later, and I was getting tagged saying, "Hey, easy." And then Ian apologized. And,
man, Ian is good at the viral tweets. Like I'll see his tweets and I'm like, that's funny, that's good. But like the people who follow Ian just love his bits because his tweets do numbers. It's very impressive to me.
Yeah, I mean, goals for you, Davis. I would feel like.
Well, Ian's very good. He like just tweets about football. He tweets about what his audience wants.
Imagine the audience Ian could have if he argued with no coiners about Bitcoin.
Yeah, I had to put it. I had to put a dollar in the Frisco Josh jar today. He got me.
It's embarrassing. Should be a Satoshi you put in there.
Yeah, I had to put a. I had to put a sat in the Lightning wallet today. My Hermsmeyer Lightning wallet.
You know, the thing, what you described, Davis, your formula for how you process whether to give credit or not, you could pivot to like a Rex Chapman style Twitter account where you just repost videos without credit from anyone else that have, you know, very, you know, viral friendly content.
So Davis did do this at one point in time with Reddit threads. He would take like popular Reddit threads and then try to tweet them.
That's not even true. What David is recalling
remember.
What you are recalling is one of my most popular tweets of all time, which was I want to say it was like a Titans Bengals game where what wasn't it like the
too soon.
I think it was like the score was 13-13 with 13 minutes left and 13 seconds on third down and 13 or something, and it was like, oh no, it was a Chargers game. Bengals Chargers, and that was for a long time one of my most popular tweets. But it was from a Reddit thread. You're right.
Yeah, and you did not give credit to that Reddit thread.
No.
Okay, and then if I may, Davis, one last story, because we're unearthing some things during Davis's early days with Fantasy Insiders. He was writing a baseball article. And
God, rest in peace, man. I can't believe that was my life.
He ripped off Matthew Berry.
It was an homage.
the mental gymnastics you're doing on this episode, Davis.
Welcome.
So
welcome
Matthew
to my
Berry
life,
used to
Pete.
Say on you know, back when they used to do with Nate and they used to do like the baseball podcast as well. That
I'll
like,
give you
Evan Gattis crushed it like a grape.
I was going to give you internet points if you could remember the player. That's very impressive to me.
Well, I remember because like I had this, you know, people tweeting me, oh, you got this guy who's ripping off TMR. And again, you were like 21, 22 at the time. And it was just a learning. It was just a
whatever
learning point
happened
for
to
you.
Evan Gattis.
I'm glad to see we've come so far from those early days. Where now ripping off someone is now just merely an homage to them. Okay, yeah. Let's go. Go ahead, Davis.
No, I'm just, you're right. When I do it, it's an homage.
Okay, I want to just, and if you have any topics in the chat, feel free to bring them out, bring them up. But remember, I have a heart out. I want to talk about the state of Dynasty football that I am in right now.
The state of Dynasty football that I am in. You had me in the first half.
Yeah. So that I am in right now because of our insiders. Most people will remember if you listen to the show for any period of time that the whole best ball Dynasty Superflex tight end premium draft kind of started.
This team,
your greatest
this team you have
to the world.
This team you have is a stone cold nightmare, David.
Yeah, no, it's awful. But here's the thing in this league is that only like three teams are trying and nine teams are like trying to actively tank.
Yeah.
And I want there to be some sort of balance there because if I'm tanking, I don't want to have to compete with all these other tanking teams.
There's nothing you can do when you play with min-maxers. Like if you played in a Dynasty league with just normal bros on the FFPC, you'd have a good distribution. But when you play with douchebag DFS guys who are playing Dynasty, they understand the trade-offs in a much more clear way. So you don't have any of these middling teams. And it does, to be honest with you, it does create a much less fun experience because I'm in a bunch of leagues with DFS min-maxers and they're all like that, where it's either you're trying to win or you're trying to tank. And honestly, there are always so many teams trying to tank. The buyers get the best of it in every deal. They get to make every trade for 70 cents on the dollar. Peter and I are in a league where Michael Leone just traded away Derrick Henry Aaron Rodgers and some top 10 wide receiver. I think it was Tyreek, for the equivalent of like a first round pick and multiple seconds. And that was all he got. And the first round pick is in 2024. And he doesn't even have his own first round pick this upcoming year. So he's going to finish dead last, but not even have his own pick in the first, just because that's what you have to do.
He's actively tanking in our league as well. So I mean,
he put himself in that spot. And this was a league where he traded two firsts and 2 seconds for David Johnson. He didn't know what he was doing.
Well, I mean, this was all learning lessons for us, Davis, because you also traded Travis Kelce.
But I got a first
without
round getting, pick.
Without understanding the market, though. You waited till after the draft decide to tank.
But that trade did end up being fine for me.
Thoughts, Peter? How do we fix this? How do we fix this state of dynasty that
you're in? How do we fix?
How do we help David's team?
More walks, more meditation.
David, I'll give you a third round pick for James Conner.
No, we're not going to do live dynasty stuff on this show.
Say succinctly, what are you trying to fix? What do you think?
I want more teams going for it. I feel like
he doesn't want the min-maxers.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if it's opening it up to, because like in the Insiders League, it's like 4 of the 12 make the playoffs. So maybe it's introducing a little bit of, how we say, variance, and saying 6.
Well, it's hard to have 6 teams make the playoffs in basketball. In managed leagues, 6 teams making the playoffs is for dynasty, and that does create more variance. Like the 6 seed team, if they get hot for 3 weeks, can win. But it in basketball also reduces the variance a little bit in terms of like a bad team, you know, making the right start sits for 3 weeks or whatever.
I mean, there's stuff. It sounds like what you're kind of asking for is even some almost like anti-tanking measures or incentivizing more people going for
incentivizing
it.
Incentivizing more people to win. Yes.
Yeah.
I don't care if you tank. Like, I understand that tanking is a valid.
You could flatten the payouts where third and fourth and second are making more of the prize pool.
Or like a mandatory dispersal for like the bottom. I don't know. Like, you know, it's
One of my keeper leagues has this thing I like where in addition to the buy-in, there's a tax for every loss that you have. And so at the end of the year, we all settle up. And so it kind of keeps people fighting at the end because they're like, I don't want to pay this extra $50 because I had a random loss. So like, I think you could do some stuff like that. I feel like negative incentives are probably going to be a little better.
That's a good idea. I like that a lot. Or like every for the best ball leagues, it would be like for every 50 points you are under league average, you owe or something like that.
The issue is that you have to collect up front because like you already have an issue.
Yeah, but we all know
of course, but like general this is not just I guess this is not just the state of dynasty that I'm in, but everybody.
Oh, now it's macro.
Right. I mean, we do the thing in these leagues where you have to pay for every year you've traded a first round pick. So if you decide to trade your 2024 first round pick, you have to pay up for that year.
The other thing we do in that league is we have a lottery element for that. So you're not guaranteed the number one pick if you have the worst record.
I like that.
Yeah. NBA style, make it not quite as cut and dry for tanking.
Just kind of
how many dynasty leagues are you in, Davis?
Well, less than, I think I'm in 9. Ooh. I cut out 2 FFPC leagues and 2 MFL leagues this offseason, though. I was like, I just can't do this.
I'm in 4 or 5, but I'm down to just 1 strictly managed league. The rest are all best ball dynasty.
And I co-own 1 with Leone and 2 with Bankmeyer. So,
Hermsmeyer? Is that what you call him? Bankmeyer?
No, that's Dink.
Can we get a reality TV show with Davis and Hermsmeyer co-managing a dynasty team together?
We'd get along. Under that context, we'd have nothing to disagree about. I'm sure it would go swimmingly.
Yeah, I'm in 2, and 1 was 3 years ago. One was 2 years ago.
What's the second?
I think I'm ready for a third one. It's the best league ever that Brett Devine does. I actually have a really good team in there.
David, this league that you and I have been in has been running for longer than 3 years.
Maybe 4 years. When you create stuff, things get
I mean,
lost.
You're the originator.
I'll ask the question. Everyone's wondering, is it the best league ever?
It's pretty good, except for the fact that Britt manages it. It's like beats you down with trade offers. And like, we got this new guy in this league and he was like, hey, I'm open for trades. Well, everyone, doesn't really take, no one's taking the time to send this guy all these trades. If someone says I'm open to trades, you just don't want to waste your time, right? Except for Britt, who grinds all the edges and I guess wears him down to this ridiculous trade.
I'll never forget Britt tweeting out his Postmates referral code. That was an all-timer. Like, sign up for Postmates through my link, bro.
I mean, the Top Shot stuff also was interesting. We had to create a new Top Shot group because Britt was too emotional about the price of these moments.
Turns out he was right. Sell all your bags.
That's what all right. Peter, it's your turn to choose a topic.
Thank you, Dave. Let me check my section here of notes. All right, how about this? Since we are in BBM three season, everyone knows the top rookies, all the first round pick guys. But who are these super deep sleepers that have a chance to be this year's Chase Claypool, that have a chance to be this year's Elijah Mitchell? Who are the guys that we should be grabbing before their ADPs?
Have you ever heard of Justin Ross?
I have, but I have a hard time envisioning him being relevant this year.
Jalen Tolbert is probably the wide receiver. Probably gonna end up starting for the Cowboys by like week three or four. Tyrion Davis Price, the 49ers third round running back. Brian Robinson, he's super sneaky, I think, because the Washington Commanders, they just like will never commit to Antonio Gibson. They keep playing. They're playing Jarrett Patterson his rookie year. They were playing Peyton Barber. Like, they just always want to give another guy some touches.
I drafted Brian at the end of the third in the league that I actually have a good team in, because
nice. Good
when
for you
think about best ball, the guy, it just feels like when they drafted him, they're just telling everybody, this guy's going to vulture all of the touchdowns inside of the 5 yard line.
Keontae Ingram for the Cardinals. He's like the best ball bros love Eno Benjamin. He's like the new Eno Benjamin, but like a bigger guy. So, and they don't really have anyone behind James Conner. It's Eno Benjamin, Keontae Ingram, Jonathan Ward behind him, but they've never really given Jonathan Ward offensive touches. He's always been a special teamer.
And I mean, the guys that are going to probably get steamed up and be too expensive just because they're going to project well from a volume perspective is probably what Algier and Damian Pierce. Cause people Algier, are just going to be able to, yeah.
Algier is like going to be drafted in like the seventh round by September, probably.
Yeah. Probably comparable to where Michael Carter was going last year,
which worked out, Carter, we had like 800 yards and four touchdowns. It was fine.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of interested in who are the guys that, even though they might not have the immediate path to carries like Pierce and Algier, but have, bell cow upside in a contingent sense. I mean, like Rashad White, I mean, he could be the bell cow if Fournette gets hurt, right?
Your fantasy BFF is like insane about Rashad White. These takes he was flying off to me yesterday. It's like, he's got him ranked at like the back end of the first round in these rookie drafts. He loves Rashad White. I don't know if I see that.
Do you know what, Pat? Pat doesn't love Rashad White. He loves betting against Leonard Fournette.
That's true. Yeah.
That's his favorite pastime.
Isn't White like the, people were talking about being like the next David Johnson type player, and that's why they need
Fournette. I think that's actually a really good comp.
Yeah.
Here's, if I may, David, still your next topic that you're going to go with. Here's my next topic. The Ravens and the Titans, as it is now in their wide receivers, like,
There's money to be made if you guess the second guy.
Right. Like, what are we doing with this, with like Duvernay? Like, we talked about it a little bit last week.
I'm not doing anything with them yet. Like, not that, not like if you had some inside beat, or if you're like the world's biggest James Proche fan, and that's an angle you want to take in the 18th round, I have no issue with it. I'm just not there yet.
Yeah. I just, in these dynasty drafts, especially, like, Duvernay's going, and like NWI, they're going with these guys that you don't even know if they're going to make the team this year.
Well, Duvernay will make the team because he's a special teamer, but Westbrook might not.
No, Westbrook, what? NWI is making the team, Davis. I'm talking about these other rookies.
They could sign Jarvis Landry. They could sign Odell Beckham. No, like,
they just signed Westbrook Akeem to a new deal, and I think they liked him enough where they decided to go cornerback instead of wide receiver.
They cut Josh Reynolds last year after signing him to the free agent deal. So you're probably right. You're probably right that they like him.
Tennessee is a little more settled than the Ravens, because you're gonna have Ravens, Robert Woods, like, and Westbrook Akeem.
The Ravens, you could see someone pop up who like is not being drafted, like see 85 targets.
I mean, because the real thing is they need someone to fill the deep threat role, right?
Yeah.
I mean, who's going to fill the Marquise Brown? They're set over the middle.
Which would be Duvernay, I think.
Taking the top off.
Is Duvernay a better deep ball than Tylan Moss?
I mean, Devin Duvernay, let's see here. I'm just going to guess he ran a 4.4. Let's see if this is true or not. 4.39. Yeah, so that would make him better than Tylan Wallace, who was like fine.
4.449 for Tylan Wallace. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you got in Baltimore the two tight ends being drafted, reminiscent of however many years ago.
Charlie Kolar, I think, can play. I actually think they will use him. He's going
lower than likely.
Kolar was a really good receiving tight end at Iowa State. I like him. I also like the guy the Eagles took, Grant Calcaterra. I figured
you would have liked the guy that the Titans took.
Some team just signed a basketball player, power forward. Let's see if I can dig that up.
This is Chig. I just want to say
the Maryland guy. Yeah, I do like him.
People are saying that he might be the next Jonnu Smith with the Titans.
The Browns.
That's the quickest way to Davis's or Kitchen's heart.
The Browns signed tight end Marcos Santos Silva, 6'6", 260 power forward, who played for Texas Tech and is now signing with the Browns to play tight end. First show to tout Marcos Santos Silva.
I mean, just to not to, you know, be the wet blanket on the rookie hopium parade here, but we have gotten pretty spoiled in these past years with really big impact rookie superstar rookies, you know, the Jamar Chases, the Eli Mitchells. Like, we could just get rugged hard this year where like none of these guys are fantasy relevant. Like, that is within the range.
Could be the year to just be drafting dusty old vets like Damian Williams. Like if Damian Williams leads the Falcons backfield in touches, is anyone really that surprised? I don't think I would be.
No.
Or even
so you're saying the year Leone wins BBM 3 because it's just 38-year-old players on its roster.
My next talking point was, I think every Chiefs pass catcher is underpriced, other than Travis Kelce, obviously. But
there's like 40 of them.
That's the thing, is the market is throwing up their hands and saying, we don't know if it's Juju. We don't know if it's MVS. We don't know if it's Hardman. The market is saying they really like Sky more. So I think probably like the average outcome is none of them end up being that good. You know, they kind of all settle in between that like wide receiver 28, wide receiver 40 range. And none of them have like a great fantasy season, but they could, right? Like what, like MVS could just run hot on deep balls and score 10 touchdowns. Or Smith-Schuster could just, you know, be healthy, and the Chiefs are running this like West Coast ball control offense, and he sees like an absurd target share the way he did when he was in his second season for Pittsburgh. Like I just want to take stabs on a lot of those guys, because the market is kind of giving them to you. Smith-Schuster is like sixth round, but the rest of like MVS in the 13th round, Hardman in the 15th round. Like I know we joke about like I'll never stop martingaling Hardman, and I won't. But these are like very equitable prices.
I think I always like viewing those situations through this lens, not that it's the end all be all, but which one of those non-Kelsey receivers has a chance to be a top 36 pick in fantasy drafts next year? Probably only Sky Moore, right?
No, I think Juju definitely can.
You think Juju could be a third round pick next year?
If, I mean, especially if Travis Kelsey gets
hurt. He's a one trick pony, Davis.
It's a really valuable trick though. Jarvis Landry never ran anything but like 6 yard dig routes and was a wide receiver, you know, was a top wide receiver. Jalen Waddle last year. They didn't throw the ball to Jalen Waddle
ever at all. Drafting Landry in the third round?
Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe you were.
To me, the real interesting thing is how steamed up does Sky Moore get? And I realize the call might be coming from inside the house to where there isn't as much meat on the bone for that potential, you know,
first day, like third day of rookie OTAs, Andy Reid comes out and is like, you know, Sky, he's doing everything we ask of him. He's phenomenal. And then, you know, Kelsey says, Kelsey will come out and do like his cute little thing of like, you know, we don't miss Tyreek at all or something to that effect. And then, you know, Mahomes will come out in his squeaky frog voice and be like, hey, you know, we love Sky. Like, you know, like you can just see it all.
That's your squeaky frog voice?
I mean, the thing is Patrick Mahomes' voice just sounds like my voice. So it's hard for me to do an impression of my own voice.
So, yes, I took him yesterday. End of round 10.
Smash it every time. You're gonna have that for like four more days. Yeah, because right now you have to literally search for him. He does not have an ADP in the applet. You have to literally search for him.
Yeah, I would say if he ends up higher than where Jalen Waddle was going last year, which was what, kind of like mid seventh, I think was probably about his peak. That's where I think you start to get really, really nervous about what upside there is there.
No, I agree. And I think your point is that of these guys, Sky is the most likely to be top 36 next year. And I think MBS and Hardman are drawn completely dead to go that high. Like, I think those guys. But, you know, it is best ball, remember? So, like, I was saying this to Leone in a totally non-tongue-in-cheek way. But, like, I don't care about how many total points Marquez Valdes-Scantling scores because I feel really confident he's going to have, like, 4 weeks of 20-plus. Like, I feel pretty, pretty confident in that.
And I, for best ball purposes, I love the ambiguity for the Ravens situation, for the Chiefs situation, because one of my pitfalls in previous years has just been smashing the same wide receiver three or four over and over, where this, it just makes it easy. Take some Duvernay, take some Tylan Wallace, take some Hardman, take some MBS. Just like split your exposures because we have
a chief in every draft. By the way, just while we're here, Ronald Jones is also like a 14th round pick and is like a CEH ankle turn away from having that backfield to himself.
Might not even take an ankle turn.
CEH, by the way, I'm not going to be able to help myself there either because he's like a ninth round pick. CEH is going after Michael Carter. The market,
Davis,
is drafting...
it kind of sounds like you're high on Chiefs players this year.
It's just that, okay.
You've named every single Chiefs player.
Obviously, I am. And I think that the market will correct this moving forward. But right now, the total lack of certainty on what their offensive distribution is going to be like means that all of their players are like a factor too cheap. And I think maybe that'll be, you know, if CH is a eighth round pick and Ronald Jones is an 11th round pick, Sky Moore and Juju are going off in like the seventh and the eighth. Hardman gets up to the 13th. MBS gets up to the 14th. Like, those are all appropriate prices, but they're all just a smidge too cheap right now. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. I'm going to ask you in a few minutes about your hot take from this draft. You need to make a bold hot take that we revisit in a year. So, Davis, it cannot be Chiefs related. Make it something else other than being Chiefs related. Khalil Shakir, we talked about, Nick says with the Bills, with Beasley and Sanders gone, he has been getting a lot of steam. Connor says James Cook, exciting too. Both these guys are all over the Twitter timeline right now. So how high is too high for these guys, Peter?
I'm way more excited about James Cook for fantasy this year than I am about Shakir. That he just seems like his path to being relevant is much harder. Whereas James Cook could come in right away, be the pass catching back, and he might just be better than even Devin Singletary and have pass to three down upside. And similar to Davis's thesis with the Chiefs, like you just want to be taking the young players in these ambiguous high powered offenses. Like if he finished the season as a top 10 running back the past, like the last 5 weeks of 2022, that wouldn't shock anyone. I don't think like that offense can support running back production like that. So yeah, I'm way more interested in Cook. I think it'll take Shakir a long road to have a valuable role in that offense.
All right. I got a question for you, Pete. Gabriel Davis's rookie season, he had 35 receptions, 600 yards, and 7 touchdowns. Are you taking the under on all those numbers for Khalil Shakir?
Yes, I would hammer them.
Okay. Yeah. I think you're right. Which by the way, Gabriel Davis, I am going to pound that button because wide receiver gets really dead where he's going. And I like him way more than Hunter Renfro and Darnell Mooney, who he goes right next to.
There's a wide receiver dead zone.
Yes.
You like him more than Mooney?
Yes.
Explain.
They're hanging.
Like, why don't you like Mooney this year?
I am the Godfather gif with Justin Fields. Look how they massacred my boy. Like they just want him to fail. They have set this up to be the most boring, painful team to watch. And I just think it's going to be tough.
Okay.
Peter, because like, just talking through the Shakir stuff too. I mean, his best case scenario to me feels like a Josh Palmer type season from last year with the Chargers, right? Where you get on the field, some catch a few TDs, but just are not the caliber of player where you're commanding a huge market share as a rookie. And Josh Palmer had what? I'm looking at 353 yards, 4 TDs. Like that to me more seems like the Shakir line. And in general, I think you should probably just be taking the under on any of these receivers who don't have first or second round draft capital.
Well, I want it on the record. I'm bullish on Tolbert because if he can play, he has no roadblocks.
Well, Tolbert again seems to me like he could have the type of Palmer season with maybe a little bit more upside, just because if Gallup is slow out the gate, maybe he has a bigger role where he doesn't have to just come on late. Like he could just be on the field from day one.
He could, like, I mean, if Tolbert comes into camp and plays well, I would assume he's immediately ahead of James Washington too. Because James Washington got signed for, I think, $3.5 million, 1 year deal. Like not even like in the DJ Shark territory. So I think that's solid.
Davis, just to recap the episode so far, Davis is high on Chiefs and Cowboys players.
No one could have predicted this. We're all looking for the guy who did this.
I want some takes on Malik Willis, because honestly, I did not like this pick.
No, Titans are super sharp. This was really good by them. I think the Titans had a great draft.
Well, they gave up AJ Brown. Well, here's my thing. If you're planning for the future, yes, they had a good draft. I just think they should have capitalized on that. This is not dynasty in the state that the Titans are in. This is like you play to win now. And I don't think they're better after the draft than they were before.
No, because I think they did some very good self-reflecting. And I think they looked at it and they said, we cannot be trying to beat the Bills and the Chargers and the Chiefs at their own game. We need to get ourselves in a good cap situation. We have good culture. Mike Vrabel, good head coach, clearly has a good relationship with his players. You know, not a situation where everyone's trying to save their jobs. Let's see what happens this year. Let's get Malik Willis in the building. Let's get Treylon Burks in the building. And, like, let's just see what happens. But let's not go all in on trying to be the one seed in the last year that the – because this is the last year that the Bills and the Chargers are not paying the mega money to their quarterbacks.
Wait, doesn't this all come full circle to the dynasty problem, right? The DFS min-maxers, you either go all in or you full-blown tank, and the Titans are middling it right now, right?
That's what I'm saying. It's like they're going for that sixth seed and trying to get hot at the right time. I would just rather them improve what they have. Like, they had...
What did you make of Ryan Tannehill's press conference today, Dave?
What did he say?
Honestly, someone in the chat
you were
said
on a walk.
That, stop. Yeah. but someone in the chat said that he said he had to go to counseling after the Bengals loss.
I thought it was a really good interview. He was really honest about how, you know, how brutal that loss was, but also was threw some shade at the Titans a little bit. He said they didn't tell him they were going to take Malik Willis. And they didn't tell him they were going to trade AJ Brown. Said he found out about both things on Twitter, which...
Yeah, but here's the thing also from the opposite side is that, like, Buddy didn't show up for offseason workouts. Like, the Titans at some point...
That's your star quarterback, Dave. He can do no wrong.
Star?
I know. But that was the worst game of his career. Like, even an average game, they would have beat the Bengals that game. And he's got to live with that for the rest of his life. Like, that's going to haunt him. John Robinson.
We're not really trying to, like, be mean to Ryan Tannehill on this show. We're kind of trying to build him up as opposed to.
It literally costs you nothing to say nice things about Ryan
Tannehill. That's what I'm saying is that, like, people that said, we got to replace him. It was one bad game. Now, here's where it concerns me a little bit is that one bad game. And, like, obviously it did a number on him where he had to go to counseling. Hopefully he's in a better spot, but that bad game turns into, like, just big time slump.
That's why they took Malik Willis, bud.
Right. And I think he's going to be the starting quarterback in 2 years, but who was the magic player? I can't believe I'm, 3-point shooter, Brian. You're way too young to remember.
We don't remember the ABA.
No, that was a coach. Brian Scott. Someone in the chat, who is the magic player that missed those free throws at the end and he could never get back on track?
I do know who you're talking. Like, I do remember this, but I don't know who it is.
This guy was, he was like an all-star. He was a 3-point shooter, and then all
Nick
he had to
Anderson.
Do was make. Nick Anderson, that's who it was. So, yeah, thank you, Paul. There you go. After that game, he was toast. It was just like there is that mental aspect, and that's what my only concern about Tannehill is, because I still think he's a legit quarterback, but, like, what's the difference in a year from now from he and Malik Willis? I don't know that.
What do you think about the idea of him saying it's not his job to mentor Malik Willis?
Well, I mean, didn't Brett Favre say the same thing about Aaron Rodgers?
And look how that relationship turned out. 20 years of a beautiful friendship between those two guys.
Yeah. Like, he didn't reach out. It was concerning to me more than that. That, like, they drafted Treylon Burks and he did not reach out to Treylon, like, right away. Like, that's going to be your star quarterback, your star wide receiver.
And I think we
probably
seen
should
stuff
reach out though.
Play out, right? I mean, these players, we see it with Kyler Murray scrubbing his Instagram. Like, this is how they're able to be passive aggressive. He was clearly upset that he wasn't in the inner circle for some of these moves. And now, how can he be petty and show that he's not happy, not reaching out to Burks, saying he's not going to venture Malik Willis? It's like his only recourse for getting back at how the Titans handled it.
Yeah. So we'll see how that plays out.
Have we talked about the Packers on this show yet? We talked about all these teams with a completely bereft wide receiver depth chart. Are we not going to talk the Packers?
No, like, ooh, Are you high on Christian Watson?
Watkins. Lizard King himself, bro. He is FFD, and you can, I mean, if Sammy Watkins has 900 yards and 6 touchdowns, who's really surprised? Not me.
I would be surprised.
I've always believed.
Davis, no, for the past 3 years, all you've said about Sammy is that he is dust. Like, that's like you use the word Sammy.
You're actually this is revisionist history. What you're actually getting wrong is that when he came into the NFL, I said he was dust. He was really good. And then he has been passed around the NFL like a half-lit joint, and I've been chasing him.
How old is he?
28, I believe.
Peter, can you verify that?
He's 28. Right. June 14th.
He was drafted in that 2014 class, yeah.
Yeah. So I said it was like Odell Beckham. Like, I said he sucked when he came in. He was good. I came around, and then I got burnt on the back end. And Sammy Watkins, he's going to get me both ways. Yeah. He got me coming in, and he's going to get me going out, because I will continue to chase him until he retires.
Sammy in cold weather with those soft tissue injuries is a recipe for disaster.
I have the solution for every single thing you said. So this is what you do with Rodgers. You stack him with both Sammy Watkins and Christian Watson. Sammy Watkins carries you through the warm months, the early fast start for the veterans, and then Christian Watson is the hammer that comes on weeks 15 to 17.
This is why they pay Pete the big bucks.
Easy game. Easy game.
Correct.
All right. All right.
I'm kind of interested in Sammy Watkins as well, because Rodgers, I mean, Christian Watson better be getting these breakfasts in now, going on fishing trips with Rodgers. I mean, because if he doesn't get in his good graces, we will never see him.
This is the point that needs to be made, which is that if Watson like looks at Rodgers wrong the first day of training camp, or like comes up short on a deep ball in a preseason game, like, goodbye. Enjoy it, because you're never seeing him again.
What are you doing about the tight end situation there?
Punyon. He's back.
Sucks.
Yeah. Off of an injury. He wasn't even supposed to be the guy there. And then you got DeGuerra, or whatever his name is.
He's also in the mix. He's like Kyle Juszczyk. Got any Johnny insight right for us, bud?
No. Don't. That would be the inside is just don't.
$16 million a year fullback. Belichick does it again.
Oh, man. The Patriots draft is just...
He's
losing some of that luster that everyone was piling on, like, 4 or 5 years ago about what geniuses they were.
Five straight like F-minus drafts.
They're so like it's always interesting to see everyone else's reaction. All right. I do have a hard out, so guys, we have to get off the show, but I want to get your final thoughts and takes as far as bold take. We're gonna do it before anyone else does it. Bold take right now for the 2022 season. What is it, Davis?
Jahan Dotson sucks. He'll end up being like the 17th best wide receiver from this class, and he will wash out of the NFL and be in whatever spring league Cody Mayne and Justin Freeman are touting in 2025.
Okay. So Dotson sucks. Peter?
All right, I'll do a more positive one, since this is, you know, trying to foster a positive work environment.
It
costs
nothing to be nice to your friends.
And a guy who we have not talked about or mentioned yet. I will say David Bell is a 4-5 turn pick in 2023 underdog drafts, indicating he has a very nice year. Kitchen, there you got to get to your Mooncat stream.
Yeah, I got to get to my meeting. Let me know.
You know you're going to be in the chat for that Mooncat stream. You wouldn't miss that for the world.
He wouldn't miss that Mooncat stream for 32.
Honestly, I have no clue what even Mooncat stream is. That's how disconnected I am.
No way. Right, you were Logan even I tagged promise. You in the tweet on Twitter.
Yeah, and then it said like could not see tweet. Like the original tweet
something's happening weird with Twitter, because that's been happening in a ton of threads. I was like, did the lucky trader block me? Because I saw that too, but it's just Twitter bugging out.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for being with us. I'm not sure about next week, but you know, that's life.
No, we'll be doing a show next week because we do a show every week here on the channel.
To your best ability. All right. We'll see you later. Peace.